Deep Purple. Oh, my, 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 my. Space Trucking is the name of that tune, which is how some people describe the space shuttle program, a trucking program for Earth. And when the space shuttle Discovery lands at the Kennedy Space Center later today, its odometer will read somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 million miles. 27-year career, 39 missions. And after today, Discovery will retire here on planet Earth, or where the rest of us are basically stuck until we become millionaire space tourists, or until Earthlings come up with a serious next step for the exploration of space. What are those next steps? Well, we go to Pasadena, California, live to Pasadena near Caltech and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, to talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist and director of the Hayden Planetarium. He's also the host of Star Talk Radio, author of many books. Neil, good morning.
Yeah, I'm in New York City right now.
You're in New York? Oh, really? Well, I had it. You're from Pasadena. Dr. Lewis Friedman, are you in Pasadena?
Yes, I'm in Pasadena.
All right, Dr. Lewis Friedman is
earlier here in Pasadena than in New York.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for getting up. Dr. Lewis Friedman is an astronautical engineer and co-founder of the Planetary Society. So, Neil, let me begin with you. What are the next steps in space, well beyond trips to Mars, and what does the planet have to do to get their act together?
Well, the budget of NASA is sort of split between what you do with robots and as guided by scientific mission statements and what you do with people. And I think NASA at its best is a happy combination of those two, but the budgeting actually is split. So with the manned program winding down by way of these shuttle missions, there's been a lot of concern about what next, and more importantly, when next. And a lot of the promises of the Obama administration. By the way, there was a lot of there's a lot of talk about going to Mars and asteroids and this sort of thing with manned missions. But the horizon for that is well beyond his tenure as president, even if he's a two-term president. So there are many people who are just concerned about that because we would not have access to space. With regard to science, there's a time-honored tradition in it began in astrophysics, by the way, where every decade we get together and prioritize how we want money to be spent that would be issued by federal sources, and it's called a decadal survey. There's one in astrophysics, that's a committee on which I served, and just a couple of days ago, the Planetary Science Decadal Survey was released. And what was a little concerned, many of us were concerned, is that but it's not their fault about this, but there's a limited budget. And within the limited budget, how big can you dream? The dreams correlate with how much money is available to you.
Right. Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson is director of the Hayden Planetarium, host of Star Talk Radio. Dr. Lewis Friedman, Neil raises a really basic point here, in that even with a decadal survey, you might miss the time horizon. The space shuttle program has been criticized for being the right program for the 1970s, but it certainly wasn't available until much later than that, and now is not necessarily as useful as it might be. Doesn't a legitimate and credible next step into space involve a much greater level of international cooperation beyond simply Washington's budget and a much bigger time horizon than simply a decade?
Those are very good points. It's absolutely true. One thing people don't realize is the space shuttle was a great technological success, and it's a great technical accomplishment, but it was a programmatic disaster. In fact, it was an anti-space decision made after Apollo not to basically let NASA build a rocket and not go anywhere. And that has been the case for 30 years for humans. They've just basically gone up to Earth orbit and not been able to go beyond. They haven't even been able to go back to the moon. We're sort of repeating that situation right now, as Neil pointed out. NASA is being given the money to build a rocket, but it's actually, even when President Obama proposed that they go to asteroids and on to Mars with humans, that program was not approved by Congress, and they're stuck in a morass where human exploration may be not going beyond the moon, and now we're in danger because of this recent cutbacks in science in the budget to not even letting robots do the great missions that follow on to Voyager and Galileo and Viking and Hubble and that we've been enjoying so much. So international cooperation is one answer, but I think the other answer is that there is no mistaking it. We will need science support in the national budget.
Well, Neil, is there also an opportunity there for private support? I mean, does NASA's nonprofit objective scientific function get tainted if there is private money involved, if it becomes a commercial endeavor?
I'm a longtime supporter of whatever role private monies can play. I mean, we live in a capitalist society. We shouldn't stand in denial of the role and power that capital markets can play. What is true, however, is that when you are actually on a frontier, a space frontier especially, there is no market valuation of that. And so you typically need government monies to carve the way. And once something becomes routine and once the mistakes are made, which are very natural and normal when you're on a frontier, that's how you know you're on a frontier, because mistakes get made and you repair them, you fix them, you repatent them. And once that's done, then the capital markets take value of it, and then you hand that over to them. And so I foresee a day when capital markets do the more routine space activities, leaving the actual frontier for government funding.
But indeed, market forces are shorter term. And I guess I'm thinking now, we started this hour thinking about, you know, foreign intervention against Libya. The consensus required to really develop interplanetary exploration as a planetary consensus in many ways is a test of the entire human race. We've got a lot to get in order here. Neil, how are we doing?
It would be. But consider, I mean, let's not forget, I mean, there's a little bit of American hubris even in this conversation. If we don't do it, but I can tell you right now that the rest of the world values the exploration of space on an upward trajectory, even if we're on a downward trajectory. So we can say, oh, let's do it internationally. If we don't, they'll do it without us. And that's the measure of your irrelevance, when other people don't need you to carry on their space activity.
And we've already seen that with the super collider in the realm of nuclear particle physics. Dr. Lewis Friedman, where do you think we'll be 50 years from now? And will it be a Chinese flag on the base there in intergalactic orbit?
Well, we tend to overestimate maybe what we can achieve in a short period of time. But as far as the future goes, one of the hopes right now is to let the private sector do more in Earth orbit, and that includes the transportation up to Earth orbit. So I think it will be a vibrant activity of international players, China and India, and maybe even South Korea and Indonesia and Brazil will be all flying to Earth orbit. Private companies will be flying to Earth orbit. The questions of who will go to Mars, who will be the first to have humans go into the solar system, I'm still hopeful, very hopeful that it's America. America should be leading an international effort. Very much Europe and Japan want American leadership in this area, just as they have had it on the International Space Station.
Lewis Friedman, Neil deGrasse Tyson, you both want to go if the ship leaves tomorrow, right?
Somewhere other than low Earth orbit.
Yeah. All right. Lewis Friedman, former executive director of the Planetary Society, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist and director of the Hayden Planetarium, host of Star Talk Radio. Next steps in space. Thanks, guys.
All right. Happy to be with you.
You can get a head start on what we're talking about on the show by subscribing to our text. We'll actually text you about what we'll be talking about the next day and give you a chance to weigh in. Just send the word START to 69866 and actually start our conversations. I'm Celeste Headlay.
And I'm John Huckenberry.
Did it take you a minute to remember?
Well, no, I want to go, too.
That's what
something
you're thinking.
Something other than near Earth orbit.
Come back to Earth, John.
This is The Takeaway.